And we're so glad Dennis is with us. Would you welcome Dennis Swanberg to Morningside?
Well, thank you, Brother Wayne and sweet Beth. Where'd my little Beth go off to? There she is, ready. She's always ready to go. Because sometimes you need to have a little music, you know, in the midst of bad, dead spots in the service. Baptist, we don't like silence. We don't want any dead spots. So thank the Lord someone can play the piano. And my Pentecostal friends, charismatic friends, they're singing such a joyful noise, you know, we may not even hear the piano. But we Baptists need help. Allison, isn't it Allison? She sang yesterday, did a great solo. And is that your man there with you? I hope so. All right, good, good. And a good-looking little fella. Do you got two of them? Are they twins or something? No, they just you sort of favor each other. I mean, you're the oldest one, though, aren't you? I can tell you look steady. And you know what? I can see one day deacon material right there. And by that time, see, you'll tell the story when y'all get into that family life center and all that stuff. You'll say, I was back there when I was just a young boy, and I helped pay for that thing, you know. You know, when it comes to looking in the mirror, I told Brother Wayne this just yesterday, I think. I said, let me tell you something. When I look in the mirror, when I'm at the hotel and I look in the mirror, you know what I think? Thank God for clothes. Okay, we'll move on from there. It is so good to be with you. And, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, and we know that. We preach it. We teach it. I try to live it. I try to help people laugh a little bit, you know. I'll study my audience, and if I see some my age and older, I think, well, I can slip in my Billy Graham, and I might they may perk up and go, did he just do Billy Graham? And all of a sudden, I got them, you know. Then all of a sudden, I'll look at someone else my age, and I may have to bring out my Barney Fife. Oh, has anybody seen Thelma Lou? You know, and they start to perk up, and some of you older guys, you know what I'm talking about, because during the COVID, that's what you watch. Gunsmoke, 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 Andy Griffith, Andy Griffith, Andy Griffith. You know who you are. And sitting in that recliner, not doing anything. Your wife's working. She's serving, working, working, working. And like my wife, I don't know about Beth. I ain't speaking for Beth. I ain't going to get y'all involved in the message. But I love a recliner. You know, I mean, God made the recliner for a man to sit in and, you know, get a stick on the side and pop that thing up. But Laurie, she comes by there, and she's tired of me not doing anything during the COVID. I tell her I'm thinking. And she finally did this. And this happens during COVID times. She said, you know, my father, her daddy was 95, World War II, Navy, Australia, Philippines, Japan, 5 years. You know, you didn't come home till they told you to go home. And he was a hero, and he's a good man, and she loves her daddy. Got pictures of him everywhere in their house. You know, I'm hoping that maybe one day when I'm gone, she'll put some pictures of me up, but I didn't say that. Of course, she might. Hope she ain't watching this. Honey, I'm sorry. Just messing with you. But, you know, then, so she said, so here it is. She goes, my father, just starts right out on me, my father, we never hired anyone to come to our home. My father fixed it. We never hired someone. My father, he fixed it. And if he didn't know how to fix it, he would read the instructions. My father. And I don't know, I just lost it, Brother Wayne. I just lost it. And I said, well, my mama cooked. And, you know, are you with me, brother? Look at him. He's raising his hand to Jesus, and he's a Baptist. Most Baptists just go shoulder level. He went all the way up on that one. But, you know, it takes a balance. And I want to encourage you in the midst of these old days that we've come through, COVID and this and that and all kinds of stuff. Some of us have lost dear friends. I've lost dear friends. I mean, texting. I'm talking to them while they're in the hospital, and they're texting back. Swan, you know, I've got this thing. My oxygen's up and going to gonna do all right. And I went, all right, man, I'm with you and I'm for you. Oh, Aaron Wilburn, you know, and other buddies. And then all of a sudden, nothing. And then they're gone, you know. And we all have been there, and to a certain degree, with all kind of stuff, work, this, that. But can I say this? Ecclesiastes said there's a time for tears and there's a time for laughter. You know, we've known tears. I know tears. You know tears. But there's also times for laughter. We don't rule, you can't really rule out either one. There's a time and a place for everything. And there's a time to laugh. Tonight, I'm going to let my hair down. We're going to really laugh tonight. I'm going bananas. I mean, when I finish, Wayne's going to probably have to preach a sermon series on laughter. Try to pull the rope back in. So he went a little far, went out of bounds two times. We caught him on tape. But, so anyhow, this morning I'm going to try to bring you a little more meat and taters. A lot of times, I was telling Brother Wayne, even this morning, I said, a lot of times when I preach, I'm sort of like, you know, when I'm on the platform with David Jeremiah or Charles Stanley and some of these other guys, I mean, you know, here's Swanberg, you know, I feel like I'm giving people a salad with some croutons and bacon bits. But then I think about it and I think, well, they need roughage too, you know. So everybody has a place in the kingdom. Everybody has a place at the table. But this morning, I want to encourage you, don't let anybody rob you of your joy. The message I had planned, I had my notes and everything, I even stole a rubber band in the back, you know, to sort of hide it in the butt, you know. Wayne never does that, but I mean, I have to have some notes, but I just felt like this morning, I don't want anybody to rob you of your joy. Not anyone or anybody. Now, sometimes we're our worst enemy about robbing ourselves from joy because we set ourselves up to lose joy. Last night I heard on the news, whether it's the truth or not, they're saying Tom Brady is going to retire after 22 seasons. Lord have mercy. Surely he's paid his light bill by now. Surely he's got his house paid off. But, I mean, he's good. I mean, what seven Super Bowls, MVP, this and that. But, you know, there's that old, you know, then you start talking about he's the best, he's the GOAT, G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. You know, I just learned that about a month ago. Goat, what goat meant. I mean, am I back in the woods or what? Look at these young people looking at me going, man, where has he been? You know. Well, maybe he is the greatest of all time. Maybe he is the goat, you know, of all quarterbacks. But, you know, what Wayne and I are thinking, well, Terry Bradshaw had four Super Bowls, you know. Or, hey, well, there was Joe Montana. Or I'm an old Dallas Cowboy, grew up in Texas. I mean, Roger Staubach, baby. I'm talking Roger, the man. You know, I mean, everybody's got their guy. Well, I think back in his day, I don't know. Now, if he had the same offense, if he had the same defense, he could be blah, 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 you know. I mean, we're always, aren't we doing that? We do it in our own life. You know, we're thinking, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. My dad was such a good man. He's the greatest of all time. All of a sudden, you can sort of get down to thinking, well, you know, who am I? You know, I'm not the goat, you know, I'm not going to make it. Matter of fact, my brother, he's the smart one. He made the money, you know, and he comes at Thanksgiving. He brings in his vehicle, you know, really nice Mercedes, you know, and I come in there with my Kia, and I think Kia's good. I mean, they got one of the best ratings right now. But, you know, he come in his Mercedes in front of God and everybody. And I know I can sense my mom and dad going, he's done well. He's really done well. And here I am, you know, going, well, I'm here. Well, maybe you can help in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, sometimes we get in this idea, you know, well, I'm not, you know, I didn't measure up, you know. Can I tell you, I've had those kind of feelings myself, you know. I never became Jerry Clowers, you know. Never became Grady Nutt for us older folks. I never became Bob Hope. I never became Red Skelton. I never did make, you know, you know how you start off, you think one day, well, I've been in churches, and I've been some people say, well, you've spoken here and you've spoken there. Yeah, but I'm just sort of, you know, this, I didn't never make it to the top. Or, you know, you have all these ideas, and then all of a sudden you start thinking, well, I'm not that big of somebody, and, you know, you can sort of get down in yourself and sort of think, well, you know, woe is me. You know, I don't know if the Lord can use me. Well, let me just tell you something. There's an old Hebrew word, bakah, bakah, which means whole bunch of bull. Let me tell you something. God is big on you. He's crazy about you. He's all for you. I told Wayne this back in that little room, that little holding tank area. I said, and I meant it, Beth. I said, Wayne, you are in your prime. Deion Sanders thinks he's prime time. I said, you're in your prime. I just sent a message to another buddy who just finished 50 years of ministry. I told him, I said, Rob, you are in. This is prime time for you. It's not over. It's not done. It's not what it used to be. I must tell you, right now is your time. Like, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of opportunity. Just because you got a little gray hair, or mine's turning white. I'm trying everything I can do to try. I've lost some weight. I'm trying to wear, you know, clothes that are just a little tighter to make you look. You know, I've even got these shoes. Look, I've got these. They're glorified tennis shoes is what they are. If my daddy were alive, Floyd Leon, he would go, that is pitiful. That is pitiful, you know. But you know why I wear them? Because Laurie tells me I'm wearing them. So anyhow, I try the best I can. I'm trying new glasses. I got these glasses. They're sort of clear around the edge, you know. I've got some that are just round, you know, and dark, make me look sort of like a professor. I'm trying, you know, if you have something like that and you add that, they don't notice your tummy. They don't notice your white hair. They just go, where'd you get them glasses? Who do you think you are, Charles Stanley? You know, I mean, whatever, you know. Here's the bottom line. Just as you are, God is excited about you and wants to use you. If you have your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Don't live in the past. I find myself becoming accustomed to the COVID and the COVID days. But even before COVID, I would find myself, those were the days. Those were the good old days. I lived that way. My boys, I tell them, now let me tell you about music. When I was growing up, I'll tell you who was good, you know. I mean, we have all that kind of thinking, but the reality is God wants to use you and me today. Yes, He loves those that have gone before us, but He wants to use you and me now in a pivotal way. Every single one of us. So in Joshua chapter 1, he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. That seems like a simple little verse, but the reality is this. Moses was dead. He's speaking this to Joshua. Joshua, he's dead. He's gone. It's over. And then he goes on, now therefore. You know, when you read a now therefore, it means attention. Perk up. Pay attention. I'm getting ready to say something that's important. Arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. It was his gift, God's gift to them. Everything that you and I have is a gift. Don't forget, life is a gift. Opportunity is a gift. Service is a gift. Going into the land that God wants us to and serving where He wants us to go serve is a gift. He said, I'm giving this to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now that's a powerful statement. Moses was awesome. I mean, Moses was the man. Remember when he was born and they put him in a little wicker basket? Remember that? I'll tell you what, baskets cost money now, people. My wife buys them from these people that sell baskets, and good. Now, we have baskets everywhere in our house. I asked her the other day, are we going on a picnic? And, you know, she looked at me and said, don't start with me. And I appreciated her submissive spirit. But anyhow, you know, Moses then, you know, he grows up and he lives with Pharaoh. I mean, he's got it all. And then one day he kills a man. You know, and all of a sudden then he has to flee, and he's down there, you know, sitting on a rock by a pool of water wondering what is he going to do with his life. Let me ask y'all something. Have you ever failed? Have you ever been a failure? You ever had a loved one that failed or had a bump in the road or a big bump? How about big bump? You know, there's big bumps, little bumps. I remember when I was going to Baylor University, my mother, I was a new Christian, and she looked at me and she said, promise me you won't do the big sins. I said, Mom, sin is sin. I knew that much as a new believer. She said, I know, but don't do the big ones. I said, well, what are the big sins? She said, you know what the big ones are. Look, them teenagers are looking at me like, now, we know what the big ones are. Well, the bottom line is sin, and be careful. The littlest thing can so easily beset you, and but anyhow, here he was down the land of Midian. He's sitting there wondering what is he going to do. And then all of a sudden these nomads come and they mess with these Jethro's daughters who are trying to get water. I don't know if they were hassling them or what they were doing. But old Moses stood up and like a John Wayne said, leave them alone and don't mess with them. You hear me? I've already killed a man and could kill a few more. I'm sort of in the mood. They left. Girls got home early. Dad said, how'd y'all get home early? Well, Dad, there was this guy named Moses, and he stuttered, but he's a hunk. And they told him, their dad, about that. He said, well, why don't you bring him home? Maybe he'll have supper with us, and maybe he'll marry one of y'all, take one of y'all off my hands. And so they did, and he did. He married one of his daughters, and then he gets a job. He's out there at the tending to the sheep, and then all of a sudden he sees a bush that's on fire but not being consumed. Hello, let me tell you have the burning bush on your resume, you get the job. You know, how do you compete with someone that gets the burning bush? And then what about, then you have old Moses, and he goes and he says to Pharaoh one day, let my people go. And then he, you know, takes them, you know, to the promised land, you know, the Red Sea. Hello, I mean, how do you follow somebody like that? You know, I like the fact that y'all are building that fellowship, that hall, you know. I remember 30 years ago when I came and pulled up into the parking lot, and there was just a, whoa, you know. Whoa, Lord, what's going on? But all of a sudden here today, we see the future continues, and there's an excitement, and there's a participation. And you folks are doing it. It's just not, well, folks of old. You know, someone chipped in for the old sanctuary that's now the youth building. We had a good banquet in there. There was people that gave to that and prayed for that and served there and what have you. And they're with the Lord now. They planted, like the little book I have out there, and I think I preached this message once before about planting shade trees you may never sit under, but others will. People have planted shade trees all around this campus, missions and evangelism. But what's exciting is you're doing the same thing they're doing. You've picked up the fact that God is saying to you, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Just as I was with those other saints, I'm going to be with you. I am with you. I'm for you. I'm crazy about you. I'm going to tell you, He loves you. You may feel unworthy. You may have had little sins or big sins, but I'm going to tell you what, He is worthy. And when He sees you, He sees Christ in you. He sees the, what we would call in seminary days, the imputed righteousness of Christ. He sees Christ. He doesn't see my old sin. He sees Christ. Wow, I'm justified. I'm saved. I'm justified and one day be glorified. But He wants me to live and press on, and so He encourages me like He's encouraging Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua, I want to do things in your life that I didn't necessarily do in Moses' life. I mean, you think about it. Joshua, remember one time he said, just march around Jericho seven times, have them blow some horns and watch what happens. And the walls come tumbling down. Never did that for Moses. One time he needed an extra 24 hours of sunshine in the midst of battle. He said, God, can you help me? And God, you know, he stayed the sun, and gave him 24 more hours of daylight. Never did that for Moses. Let me tell you, God's no respecter of persons. He loves Moses as much as he loves you, loves me as much as he loves Wayne as much as he loves Beth. Loves Beth a little more. But anyhow, he loves you. He loves you. And he said, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you, Joshua. I'm going to tell you, the love of a father. Maybe you don't feel real lovely today. Maybe you feel like, you know, I'm the black sheep of the family. I come to church and everything, but, you know, folks around here, Valdosta, some of them know my story. You know, word gets around in Valdosta. Well, word gets around everywhere. People are going to talk everywhere. I mean, they got to have something to talk about, and they'd hate to talk about themselves unless they really feel like they're somebody. So they may talk about you. Well, I tell you, he's had some trouble. Yeah, she's a lot better than she was. You know, just all kind of stuff. You know, my boys have had their bumps in the road. I got a little book back there called No More Secrets, a real open, transparent book. And there's been times I've said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll tell you what, I never embarrassed my mom and my dad, Floyd, Leon, Pauline, Bernadine. I never was in jail. I never was in a rehab. I never did have to do the 12-step program. I never had to be part of Celebrate Recovery. I never did all those big sins. I didn't hurt my mom and dad's feelings. And you know what he said to me? Well, have you hurt me? I said, well, yes, sir. How many times, Swan? I guess thousands. Well, why don't you put a lid on it? And why don't you love them? You don't have to enable them, but why don't you encourage them and press on? And why don't you do that? I said, well, yes, sir. Well, you know what I still fight and I battle? And you know what my boys still fight and battle, is that they are not as good as their daddy. And that I still sometimes think that I'm better than my boys. Now, can you believe a preacher would tell you that? But that old flesh in your life and my life, we can think that way. We better stick to what does the Word say. If we're going to get corrected, what does the Word say? And the Word said, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I love that verse. We read it again in Hebrews 13:5. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's a quote they believe of Jesus Christ. But here it is, here in the Old Testament. I'll never leave you, Joshua. I'll never forsake you. I love that verse. And it became very real to me. Wayne and Beth have heard me share this. I may have shared a little bit years ago, but I was just thinking about it this morning. My wife put a picture on Facebook hugging Dustin, my youngest boy, old Dusty. We called him back then Dusty. But once they get married and they got a wife, and now it's Dustin. So we have to say Dustin, you know, in text and Facebook, Dustin, but you know, if it's just me and him, hey, Dusty. But it's a picture of my wife hugging him in California. He's got on gray sweatpants. He's got a what do you call a wife beater shirt, old tank undershirt. That's it. And she's hugging him. And she says something like, he's come a long way. I'm so proud of Dustin. You know, he's married. I was telling the ladies yesterday, he's married Brittany. She's a dog trainer and a groomer, and Dustin's learned how to fetch and sit and roll over. But, you know, that picture in 2009 was at a rehab place in San Clemente, California. We remember those days. You know, second DUI, jail. I remember when we couldn't find him. You ever been in a situation where you didn't know if your son or daughter was dead or alive? Some of you do. We didn't know. I've seen that happen on multiple occasions, too many times within my own family. I've watched my wife be on the floor and crying her eyes out to such a degree, just mumbling and unintelligible. I thought I might have to take her to a mental hospital or something. Oh, the love that a mother has for a child. You know, I love my boys, but I think I could whoop them pretty good, you know, when I get angry or upset. But she just weeps and moans. Well, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to give birth to a child. I have no idea how a woman feels about her boys. Oh, Dad loves you two boys, but your mama, you take care of mama. She'll take care of you for life, I promise you, buddy. And there's that picture. I remember we didn't know where he was. We finally humbled ourselves and asked our family and asked our friends to just call police stations all across the state of Texas to see if we could find him. And my niece, Lisa, who now is an attorney, she found him in Georgetown, Texas. He was in jail. And I drove all night and left Monroe, Louisiana, where I was living at the time, drove all the way to about 7 hours, got there, went inside, paid his bail, walked outside, and God said, if you love him, leave him. And I've never heard God speak out loud. Have y'all? But I tell you, if you want to hear him speak out loud, just read the Bible out loud.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to hear God speak, read the Bible out loud. And so, but anyhow, he spoke to my heart, and I went back in there, and I said, I don't want him. Y'all keep him. And they kept him. I went outside. My oldest son was out there with me, and I said, let's go back home. Drove 7.5 hours back home, and my wife asked me, do you have Dusty, you know, on the cell phone. I said, no, honey, I left him. God told me if I love him, I needed to leave him, so I left him, you know. So I left him. Left him there 9 days. And I said, I'll go get him when God tells me to. So after 9 days, I went and got him. Then got him, took him to my mom's place, showered him up, then drove him to the airport and put him on a plane to California. And just... that was a tough old time. You ever been there? Have you ever been there more than once or twice? Or, you know, we've been there. But here's the deal. I felt bad about leaving. How about you? I mean, a father, I left him. But I knew this much. I knew that his heavenly Father would never leave him nor forsake him. And the actual verse there in Hebrews 13:5, it's someone called it a synergistic compounded negative. Has multiple negatives in there. You could actually translate it this way in the voice of Billy Graham. I'll never, never, no, never leave you nor forsake you. That's a forever never. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But in English, we just say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But it's actually, I'll never, never, no, never leave you nor forsake you. And I knew this much. My Lord would never, ever, 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 ever leave my son who received him into his life when he was 7 years old. You know, on October the 10th. And I've never been able to talk him out of that conversion experience. Isn't that something? Now I'm going to tell you something. There's a hope and a word that was for Dustin, my oldest son Chad, who has his story, me, my wife, her family, my family, your family, all of us, we're all in this together. And he said to Dustin, in his heart of hearts, which I can't do, and you can't fix everything, Mom and Dad. You can't fix everything. You cannot fix it. Young person, teenager, you can't fix it. Only God can fix. Only God who creates can recreate. Only God who gives life can give it life abundantly. Now listen, and this is what God said to Joshua, and he says it to Dustin. He says it to me. He says it to you. He said, he said, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance to the land, only which I swore to their fathers to give to them. And then he says again, only be strong and courageous. Goes on down, he says, may observe to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. Listen to this, what he says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I'm going to tell you, the word of God, it's awesome. I don't care if you're a comedian, entertainer, singer, whatever. You better be a person of the book. This book is everything. And what really helped Dustin way back there in 2009 was a Gideon's New Testament that was in the jail. And he read through that New Testament like three times. And he snuck it out when he left. I guess you say he stole it. I told some Gideons down there. My daddy was a Gideon. I told them a camp down there. And they said, don't you worry about it, brother. We'll be bringing them some more Bibles. Well, just about a week ago, because it's January, and you have flashbacks, I went and was looking at all my different books and my Bibles, and there I pulled out that New Testament, Gideon's Bible. He'd written in it. He came by the house. Now he teaches history to juveniles that are locked up. 66. All 66, their dads are either dead or in jail. He's the only salt and light that they get to see in Christ Jesus. I said, Dustin, I want you to have this Bible back. You gave it to me years ago when you got out of jail. I want to give it to you now. Because I'm going to tell you, the key is not me or his mama. It's the very word of God. And that's what's keeping him going. You know, Dustin, every morning he listens to old Tony Evans every morning. A whole message from Tony Evans every morning. You know, Dustin and his wife, Brittany, they go to church. They're in church right now. She's doing the coffee. He's doing security. Then tonight he teaches a Bible study for the staff. He's a good layman. And then on Monday night he does men's Bible study. Then on Wednesday night he's security up there for the youth. I'm so proud of them. They're churchmen. They love Jesus. They love their two kids, Andrew 3 and Old Dustin. He's come a long way, hadn't he? You know, I'll tell you why he's come a long way. Because he's listened to God say, not me or mama, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You got one life. I want you to go for it. And he's decided to go for it. He's not going to be intimidated by the rest of life. Has he learned a lot from Celebrate Recovery? Yes. Has he learned a lot from AA? Yes. Has he learned a lot from the big book? Yes. Has he learned a lot from the Bible? Yes. And he knows that this Bible and making good choices is the key in order to have a joyful, happy life. And we love being with old Dustin, even though we've been through a lot of stuff. And may I say this, some of you are going, well, we're still waiting on our son. We're still waiting on our daughter. Let me tell you something. You keep living and honoring the Lord in your own life, and that's up to God. You don't need to pout and worry, and this, you got to press on. We've had to learn to do that. You got to press on. They may not come around till you're dead and gone. They may be 82 when they finally the light comes on, and that's fine. You don't have much control over that. You can pray, but you need to live, and they need to see that you enjoy life, and you're going to enjoy life, and you're going to be like Joshua. There's more to come. I'm going to be strong and courageous, and I'm going to live out this life. and let God do what he wants to do in and through my life. That's the best thing you can give to your kids. They don't need to see you pouting around and that you're hiding and that you're getting in the, just stay home and I'm not going to get out with people and I'm going to isolate myself. I'm embarrassed, you know. I mean, you know, I'm just going to back off. Isolation's dangerous. You need to be involved in the kingdom work of God. You come into this place boldly as you come boldly to the throne of grace. And you keep on living. And you keep on loving. Some of you my age are thinking, well, Swan, I wish I was as close to my grandkids as you are right now. We're very fortunate. They spend the night with us. We moved back to Texas just to be close to them, 3 and 15 months, and we love them, but we realize there'll be a day where there'll be teenagers, like you teenagers over there, and y'all be going busy doing, and your mama, papa, mimi, pops, pep, big mama, gaga, gee, gee. They're all, well, I wish they would come by, and your mom and dad are going, go see your grandma, go see your grandpa. Well, I'm busy, man, I got a ball game, I got to go, I got a date. And, you know, they're just not around. And then all of a sudden it's Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you're wondering, are the kids going to come and the grandkids? And then all of a sudden, you know, you find out, well, they're not coming. And if I said to you, well, they're not coming, no, they're going to go be with her people. And we know how crazy they are, you know. So then you're down for you're down on Thanksgiving. You're down at Christmas because they can't come. Hold it. Hold it. I listened to a couple at our church the other day that's my age or a little bit older, and they said this before Christmas. None of our kids are coming for Christmas. None of our grandkids are coming for Christmas. We're fine. We're okay. Because God in his word made it clear to us. We have a clear picture, and this is what we hold on to. We hold on to the fact that because they are in Christ and their grandkids know Jesus, we will be with them in eternity. Hallelujah. Forever. Right. And we will have sweet fellowship. We will have time together forever. So we're getting over it and let it go. And then they said this. So you know what we're doing for Christmas? And we're all waiting. And they said, we're going to a Cracker Barrel. You know, we're going a day before Christmas. We're going to a Cracker Barrel. And we're loading up. We're loading up, and we're going to shop and buy little cards and little knickknacks and tallywacks and everything out there in the little gift shop, and we're going to eat there, and we may go to Waffle House tonight and get the All-American breakfast. They're open 24/7. Hallelujah. And if worse comes to worse, we'll go get Chinese food because they're not necessarily Christian, and they're open on Christmas Day. And we're just going to be bloated for Christmas. That's what we're going to do. Let your joy be full because he's the one. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Just as he was with Joshua, he will be with you. Just as he is with your grandpa, grandma, and your mom and your dad and your friends, he is with you. Don't underestimate what God wants to do in and through your life today. But here's the key. Like Joshua, you have to receive that gift. You have to receive that challenge in your life. It's not just going to poof and happen. You've got to be willing. Are you willing today? Best thing that your kids could ever see is that you're sold out for Jesus. You're not haughty. You're not rude. You're not mean. You don't look down upon anybody. But you're going to enjoy serving the Lord, and he's your priority. And if they, for some reason, don't want to go to church with you and your husband doesn't go, that's all right. Give them a big kiss and say, honey, I'll be back a little bit later. You want me to bring something home for lunch after church? Or it could be the other way around. It might be the lady at home going, you know, I just don't know. You know, this, you know, I've got a lot on me. All right, babe, well, I love you. And you're, as a man, you go, I love you, baby love. Now, I'm a going up there, and I'll be back. You want me to pick up something? Or you want me, when I get back, we'll take you. I'll get to... Be great. Have you ever known men like I've known some men in my church. Their wives didn't go, but they would go. They would never miss. But they were gentle with their wife, protective of their wife. Always tell me, she's a good woman, brother. Then she just, you know, has some. That's okay. But he, as for, like Joshua, as for me and my house, as best I can, we're going to serve the Lord. Is that the spirit that you have? We need that spirit. And I got to close because I'm getting hungry. But these teenagers and these college students, these children, they need to see that in you, Mom and Dad. They need to see that, Mamaw and Papaw. They need to see that this life we have in Christ takes us all the way to our dying day when we got tubes up our nose and this and that. And if I can, right before I die, I'm going to wink at Laurie one more time. You know, just make her go, oh my gosh, you know. He never changes, you know. Because I'm alive in Christ Jesus. And He gives me hope, and what a day that'll be in a twinkling of an eye when I see Him. I don't know, Brother Wayne, if he'll... It makes me nervous. I don't know if he'll say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. I just know how pitiful I am sometimes. But I know this by the Word of God. I will see a friendly face. Oh, and will hold me with nail-scarred hands and hug me tight. That's the Father we have. That's the God we have. The Son of God we have. The Holy Spirit, the three in one. I can't explain it. Let Wayne preach a series on it. And that's the one who loves you and waits for your response. Your response. So now during this invitation time, you came maybe and prayed once already. If God touches your heart that you need to come and finish a prayer, add a P.S. on it, a postscript prayer, you come and pray. If your knees are bad, you've had both knees replaced like mine, just come forward. Don't get on your knees because we'll have to call the ambulance to come get you up, you know. But stand and pray. Maybe if you need Christ, you come. And listen to us older folks, just because you got white hair or no hair doesn't make you holy. Do you know Jesus? Is it nailed down? Maybe you need to come today and nail it down. Say, Brother Wayne, I need to nail it down. I want to be for sure so I can press on. Maybe you need a church home. It's a great church. Why don't you come? God calling you to missions? Is He calling you to preach? Is He calling you into ministry? Young men, young women, is He calling you to serve Him in a vocational kind of way, a calling? Maybe today is your day to come and say, Brother Wayne, if he wants me to preach, I'm willing to preach. And I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to be the preacher I need to be, the missionary I need to be, the minister of music that I need to be. Are you called into ministry? I want you to come today. May you respond to Jesus. Would you stand and would you sing? And would you come? Brother Wayne's here to greet you. You come. Come now.